South Africa.
Shout out to Carl Word. Shout out to Carl Word.
Down, down, down.
And everything you have done. Matt, how's it going? It's so great to connect with you, man.
Thank you for having me, man.
Awesome. I'm sure you're just as excited as we are for this weekend, heading to South Africa.
I am so excited. I don't know how to express that in words, but I'm really excited as an artist too, musically talking too, because Africa is completely another world compared to the rest of the world. And I've never been there, so I'm really curious and excited to be there.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll be able to show you a really good time. And I'm sure with the two stadium shows, it's going to be absolutely epic. But we'll get onto that in a short while. I wanted to just chat to you about the Medusa EP, and that including some of your first records and, of course, some new records. I'm dying to know what the process was like compiling that and which records you had to hold back on and not putting them on there. I'm sure there was a host of tracks that you couldn't release yet, which you're probably saving for another release, another album.
Oh man, we have releases in the folder like for probably 10 years, but probably we will never release that. We only release things that we think that are ready to be released. But I think we were in a time where just releasing after singles for so many years, we were in a time where people need to understand that Medusa were two different things in the same thing. Let me explain. We started making radio stuff, radio beats, but then people coming to see our shows, our DJ sets, we're listening to a different version of Medusa, just like more club, more underground, with more melodic sounds. And that was Medusa too, but people didn't understand that at the beginning, because obviously we started realizing just radio stuff. So we had to show them that Medusa can be both things, and that the best things to do that was with an album, with EP2 and EP1. EP2 with all the tracks coming from the club side that we make and we usually play every single show. And EP1 was the radio stuff with all the hits on the radio. And but that we will continue to do it. But now people can expect something different when they come to the show.
For sure. And I'm sure it's a hybrid between the two as well, which allows you to also bring in some of those non-radio records in between them. So, you know, it really does captivate the crowd at the same time.
Yeah, you know, when you make especially club music, you can do experiments. You can test new sounds. So you are more free to not do the wrong thing. And then when something you recognize in the crowd that it works, then you can translate that into the radio stuff in a different way, obviously, but you can get the idea from there. So as an artist, you feel more inspired in being able to test different things.
And I mean, it must be so surreal from the moment a piece of your heart was released and having that be a worldwide smash with years and years of making music prior. On a side note of that, Bad Memories has to be one of my favorite records as well. And I'd really love to know how that came about, you know, lyrically, production-wise, and working with the collaborators on that. Obviously, it's a big team behind that record as well.
Bad Memories.
Yeah, I remember we got the demo from James Carter and the Fastboy. It was half of like that, but half was with another top line. So, but we loved the idea of the top line, like having these bad memories after the nightclub. So we sat down in the studio with the guys and he said, okay, this point is perfect, but we need to rework the rest and give more like an unhappy feeling, because the top line was just a little bit dark with the voice pitched down and stuff like that. That's why we put the guitar in it. So we've been working on different stuff and then completed the lyric and keep it easy, because we've been inspired by the in that time by the Post Malone lyrics, because it was always the same melody for the entire song. But the vibe was great. You just were able to listen to the song from the beginning to the end without stopping it. And that was a great thing. So we've been inspired by that. We've been trying to do the same thing in house music, and that's basically the meaning of the making of Bad Memories.
When it comes to live shows, how is the process when it comes to preparing for the set, as well as from a live point of view? Is this something that is unique per show?
Being three, obviously it helps a lot in making music, preparing shows and stuff like that, but we all had our background. I grew up more than the other guys as a DJ, so I am the one that used to playing shows as a DJ, and I still continue doing that. And I am the one in the studio that works more on the arrangement for the clubs, for the songs, and work on the beats. And try. I'm testing out tracks and see the reaction of the people, see what moment is the best in the track and what we need to change. Simone and Luca, they are more musicians, especially Simone too, and Luca is more the nerd of the group, like the one who stays on machines and try plugins and sounds every day. And the dynamic is changing when we go to not the DJ set but the live show, because as musicians they need to show what they do, what they know about music, so that's why they play keyboards on the stage. And I am the one that a little bit behind that put the beats on. So that's a, but there's a great connection between us, even in the studio. So it works a lot, this kind of doing things that we know and put together the result.
Being three members and having that dynamic between the three of you also just elevates any particular DJ set that could have happened. You know, it's the evolution of a DJ, I find. You know, having a live performance from just standing there playing a couple of records, where this is really a lot more interactive with the crowd as well, and makes the show so special.
Yeah, and also let me be honest, nowadays with all the things you have, you cannot do that alone, like as an artist, unless you have a really big team behind that works on every aspect. But you have to do the shows, make the music, be on socials, and do interviews, and then travel. So yeah, being free really helps a lot.
Okay, so Calabash is coming up. We've spoken a bit about the live sets and what we can expect, and I'm pretty sure there are quite a few unreleased records that we can expect too, which I wanted to touch on when it comes to, and you briefly mentioned it earlier, how often do you dedicate time within a set to test out new records, see the reaction, and obviously see, because I mean, some of these tracks you probably have been working on for years, but the music industry and the sound in the industry just keeps changing. So it's always difficult, I would imagine, to make sure that whatever you're making always stands out. And for as long as you work on something, keeping that in mind, that if it only comes out in a year or 2 years from now, that there really is always an element of familiarity that you've got to just surpass all the time.
I mean, you said everything. That's exactly my thought. Especially nowadays, like the industry is changing really fast, so you don't have time to test it out tracks for that much, like for few shows. So you have to be ready to release, I'm not saying quite immediately, but like after 1, 2, 3 months at least of test. Sometimes you find things that are working, sometimes not, but also in the negative side, you can improve your music, like, okay, this didn't work, but probably you were inspired by the wrong thing in the wrong moment, but the music was right, but in the wrong time. So it can happen also like that. It happened with one of our tracks with Eli Infer, that called Pegasus. We've been testing out that track for 2 years, And then it wasn't the right time to release that. We knew that because every time we tested out that track, it was working, but not that good as we wanted to work. But we loved the track, so we just been waiting for a year and a half. And then we thought that was the right time to release it, and then people loved it at the time. Probably people 1 year before was not ready for that kind of house music stuff. So you have to realize, same for Piece of Your Heart. Maybe releasing Piece of Your Heart 1 year before, it wasn't the same thing. So you have to love your music, but you have to understand when it's the right time to release your music too. And this is not obviously easy, and it's not every time up to the artist, because the label involved too, the management, and there are a lot of aspects. But we feel lucky and blessed that the label behind us and the management behind us are we are on the same line all together. So this is a good thing for an artist, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure it's super super challenging, especially when you're holding on to a record for that long, to make sure that when it is released, it has the lifespan that you intend. Because we mentioned it earlier as well that there are so many tracks coming out all the time that have a very short lifespan, and your EP is a perfect example of how some of these tracks that were released 5 years ago still stand the test of time, which is super important. And I'm sure that must be a vital point that you always have to take into consideration. You mentioned Post Malone on Bad Memories being an inspiration when it comes to, and I'm glad we're having this conversation in the beginning of Jan so we can look forward to the rest of the year. What are some of your inspirations for this year's releases to come?
In house music, there are two big things now, and one is the Latin music that is growing up really in a really way, and the other one is Afro music. That is the one that I love more. I know Black Coffee since. Yeah, that's why I'm excited, because I've always been in my free time, and when I drive in my car, when I listen to streaming platforms, I always just like have in my playlist Afro music, or I always go to Black Coffee shows when I can, because I know him, we are friends. And I think the difference between the electronic music and the Afro music, especially now, and also the Latin music in some way, is that it's not electronic. It's not coming from the laptop, it's not coming from machine, it's coming from the soul, it's coming from the history. And that's a completely different vibe. I don't know how to explain in words, but when I was at the Black Coffee show, and he was playing this show at 120 BPM, that it's not a usual thing for house music, I saw people just dancing, just vibing with music, and it was just like seeing people dancing on something coming from the inside. And that's why probably Afro music is becoming the biggest thing in the industry with Latin music, probably for the next few years.
Yeah, it really is exploding and has been on a massive trajectory. Just before I let you go, in terms of 2024 and touring around the world, how is that looking? Obviously, we'll see on social media, but what are your travel plans looking like for the rest of the year?
Busy time.
I'm sure.
but it's the life I love. It's my life, and I love doing that. Obviously, it's a stressful thing, but you know, it's what we love, and I'm pretty happy and excited about this year. It's gonna be a busy one. We will have the highlight of the year, that is gonna be the European tournament of football in Europe, because we are we wrote the anthem with One Republic and King Petrus. So that's gonna be the main thing for the year. But then we have the residency in Ibiza at High. We have the residency in Vegas. We have a lot of headline shows. We have the first Odyssey live show, the 2.0, so it's going to be completely new. Then it's going to be this winter in October in Milan. So then, and it's really important for us because obviously it's the first show this year, live show this year, and it's gonna be in our city. So a lot of pressure in making new music and making club music too. There's our indie label Aeterna too, where we are discovering new club artists and a lot of exciting stuff. I'm pretty excited about 2024, to be honest.
Incredible. Well, we're all excited to see you here and see what the show brings, and I'm sure you're going to love South Africa, and I hope to see you there. Thank you so much for your time, and it's been a great honor to connect with you and chat with you, Matt.
Thank you for your time and for having me.